923-17.
This is not part of the show, but there is a current Amber Alert out right now. We want to pass this along. Authorities are looking for a four-door maroon Cadillac, a 2003 model, Iowa license plate, 561XEY. The driver is a 25-year-old female. She has three white female passengers with her between the ages of 3 to 8 years old. They could be in northwest Iowa or southern Minnesota at this point. They are from Royal, Iowa. The Amber Alert issued statewide. Again, a 2003 maroon four-door Cadillac with Iowa license plate 561XEY. If you see that vehicle, contact authorities immediately.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
You mentioned looking in some of the defenders' eyes. Do you do that? Do you check them out during the game?
You can see in the demeanor when they don't want to be there no more, or when they don't want to be on the floor anymore, when you got them. And when you see that, you can't let them hang. You got to take advantage of that.
Do you actively look for that?
I don't like look for it, but like you could just tell, like just when you like scan the field and you can see and how they come up on the field and how they come down for tackling and how their coverage is. You kind of could just tell. You kind of get a feel for it.
When did you see that tonight? Yeah. You remember the first time you saw that tonight?
After that pick. Trap made a big play for us. Yeah. You can tell the way we stormed the field, the way we took the field, and their approach. Was just real different. We had a great call. We had a great call. Coach Jomo made a terrific call.
That's Saquon Barkley. Last year, after Penn State humiliated Iowa in Happy Valley, will the outcome be different Saturday night in Kinnick Stadium? Revenge on the mind of the Hawkeyes. It is Tuesday, September 19th. Welcome in another edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann. Busy collecting all of the interviews from earlier today in Iowa City. We will bring those to you later on tonight. Great show, a packed show. Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago, who was supposed to join us yesterday, will be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Cubs kicking off a brief set with the Tampa Bay Rays tonight at Tropicana Field. Good news on the horizon with right-hander Jake Arrieta. You'll hear about that on today's Cubs Report, brought to you by our friends at Hertine and Stocker. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register will be along at 5 o'clock. We'll talk Hawkeyes and Nittany Lions. And Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com is set to join us at 6:05 tonight. We'll take a look at all of the goings-on around Major League Baseball. Hawkeyes meeting with the media today. Kirk Ferentz speaking at 1:45 this afternoon. Not a whole lot coming from Kirk Ferentz, and he's playing down the revenge factor, saying there are a number of guys that are on the team right now that didn't even make the trip to Happy Valley a year ago, let alone weren't even on the field. And I don't necessarily know whether I buy that or not after having been in the interview room with Parker Hesse on Saturday after the North Texas game, where you could almost see the fire in his eyes, and he was talking about, "You can bet that I will revisit that game many, many times this week." I think for the guys that were there at Beaver Stadium last year, revenge is definitely on their mind. How you doing today, Alex?
I'm doing well, and I tend to agree with you. I know that coaches don't publicly say that revenge is a factor, or they don't publicly say that they use bulletin board material to motivate their team. But if a running back for the other team, after a 41-14 beatdown, comes out and says, "Those guys quit," you better believe that at least that topic will be revisited 365 days later.
Kyle, what did we learn today in Iowa City? I'm putting you on the spot, and I'm not sorry for it.
My biggest takeaway, I thought that Kirk sounded kind of concerned about how much talent the Penn State offense has. We'll hear some of that later, but you can hear it in his voice and his sentiments. He's concerned that even if they come out and are disciplined and do their assignments, he knows that guys like Barkley, McSorley, and their tight end as well, they know that those guys are just talented enough to make plays even if even against a good defense. And Kirk seems to know that.
What the players have to say?
A lot of the same stuff, really. Kind of just preparing for a wide-open offense. Got a lot to deal with. Saquon Barkley, a lot of guys pointed at his size-speed combo. He's incredibly difficult to bring down. With one guy in the open field, they're going to have to make sure that they're all pursuing and trusting their assignments and that they don't have to do too much themselves, kind of funnel them into another defender, and it's going to take all of them to bring Barkley down.
Let me guess, reading their keys, was that was
reading
that
their keys okay. came up a lot.
Okay.
They are also concerned about, with the threat of Barkley running, they gave a lot of credit to their play-action passing. McSorley will get out and move a lot, and it's going to be on the DBs to make sure that they're staying, keeping the receivers in front of them and, not biting on any fakes.
Not taking the cheese.
Are you guys done talking about football? I want to know if the fly made any of the cuts.
It did.
There was a rogue fly at Kirk Ferentz's news conference today, and I don't think he was too happy about it.
I actually specifically cut it out.
Okay.
I put the clip in, took the fly out.
Okay.
We got
okay.
someone on the phone. I'll see you guys later.
Wow. Kyle writing his own exit strategy. 319-366-1600. By the way, that is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line as well. I don't think Kyle wanted to be put on the spot there.
I thought he handled it well, though. And he had to go on the other side of the glass at 319-366-1600 to get on one of our regular callers who will join us here in just a second.
It is. We go a couple days without hearing from him. If it's more than 7 days, we do alert the authorities. Sonny in Iowa City batting leadoff for us tonight. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. So this is tangentially related to what's going on.
Sonny, big words.
Sorry, I don't know how, I never really played Scrabble. I don't know how many points that would get me, but that's a $100 word right there, tangentially. So the problem that I have is that it is such a thing to say nothing in these press conferences. I mean, the Bill Belichick, Kirk Ferentz school of press conferences. I don't see anything wrong, and this is not like a politically correct thing. I totally buy that as a concept, and I think it's a good thing. But in this example, to say that revenge is not something that you're thinking about makes no sense to me. And I was watching Kyrie Irving today talk about LeBron James, and they're asking him, did you want to have your own team? Were you tired of playing second fiddle? And he wouldn't say it. And I'm thinking, of course, that's what he wants. He's going to Boston. If he just wanted to win championships, he'd probably stay in Cleveland. He can't get any more money. He's being paid the max. That's the only possible reason to go to Boston. Why not just say it? Why not just say that revenge is a consideration in this game? Because of course it is. I mean, it's the bulletin board material thing. Why would coaches not say that they use bulletin board material? We all know they do, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Always great to hear from you. You can follow Sonny 366-1600. Josh and Ely, weighing in on the text line, says revenge in this series means nothing, just like Penn State was supposed to get it in 2009. David in Hudson says Iowa needs to match up against Penn State's speed. What I'm saying is more defensive backs on the field. I know they won't because they never do, especially on first and second down. What do you think? Revenge playing a factor in Saturday's game, and is that a good or bad thing? 319-366-1600. Kirk was about as down the middle of the fairway as you could possibly get today. And I say that as someone who's been around him for 18 of the 19 years that he's been the head coach in Iowa City. Not extremely worried. Let's put it this way. He didn't sound like a coach who felt like his team was going to get blown out and he knew it. But he also didn't have that, what I like to call quiet Kirk confidence, where you can sometimes tell he knows something that nobody else in the room knows, and that's how this game is going to play out. This was just step up to the tee box and stripe it right down the middle of the fairway. Don't put too much power into it, and just play your irons from there. And they better hope that they got some good irons in the bag against Penn State on Saturday night. Gym class guys, am I doing that right? Did that make sense? Scott and Mark somewhere are hopefully nodding in agreement. You can as well. Again, the text line 366-1600. We want to hear from you today as Iowa continues to gear up for Penn State. I had a couple people ask me today, and just here in the building, about game day not coming and the reasons why. And all I can think of, big game day is going to be in New York City for the first time ever. Times Square, right?
Correct.
On Saturday. Hopefully the Washington State flag makes. It'd be a real shame if it didn't. The only thing I can think of is the outcome of last year's game was so lopsided that maybe they took that into account and thought that it would be a hard sell to a national audience. But they go all over the place. I don't know why they didn't want to come to Iowa. But the bottom line is, game day or not, 6:30 Saturday night, the ball goes in the air. Now, I will say this. The one thing I noticed from Kirk today is he ramped up the self-deprecating humor to about a 7 or 8. Kirk is he's a pretty self-deprecating guy, and I've always picked up on that because I'm cut from the same cloth. He made a joke about the only thing that they may have won last year at Penn State is the coin toss, and they may have even lost that. He wasn't sure.
They won it.
And that is his way of saying that he has not forgotten about what happened last year, and nor has anybody on the coaching staff. And then, so you have to sometimes decipher what Kirk Ferentz is saying or thinking or feeling. And to me, when he made that comment, that was, I took my Dick Tracy decoder ring out of the cereal box, and I thought, okay, that is him sending a quiet signal to everybody that, yeah, he knows full well what happened last year. Coaches have very long memories. Not going to forget about anything anytime soon. Speaking of long memories, Kirk had a tremendous little anecdote today about the late, great Norm Parker holding up a manila folder with thoughts about Georgia Tech's triple option from Norm's time at Minnesota in the 70s, back when they were first encountering Georgia Tech, getting ready for the 2010 Orange Bowl. And that goes to show coaches retain a ton of knowledge. Norm was sitting on that for almost 20 years so that he could break out some of the things that wound up working against Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech that day in Miami. Other than that, here's what we know about the Hawkeyes at this point. It's the same thing we knew about the Hawkeyes yesterday. James Butler, most likely going to be out for Iowa until at least after the bye week, which is in mid to late October. They are targeting for him, they think, the Northwestern game, which would be October 21st in Evanston. They have their fingers crossed. It does not sound as if Akram Wadley will miss any time this weekend, so they will be at full strength, at least at the top of the depth chart in the backfield. And other than that, the injuries, for the most part, are your run-of-the-mill nicks and scratches and day-to-day type of things. But you take James Butler out of the equation, and you've got Torrin Young and Ivory Kelly-Martin, who both looked really good against North Texas, Torrin Young in particular. And I think that's important because Kirk talked last week about having a conversation with Young, saying, hang in there, keep your head up. The situation just hasn't presented itself where we can get you on the field and get you some snaps. Now, it's not the way that anybody would have drawn it up last Saturday to get him in there. But if you're a Hawkeye fan, you've got to be feeling pretty confident about the guy who was number three and will most likely be number two on the depth chart this weekend.
It'll be interesting for me to see if Torrin Young or Ivory Kelly Martin separate themselves and one becomes the backup running back and gets the bulk of the carries with James Butler out, or if they split those carries, because I thought that there is a possible niche for Ivory Kelly Martin. He seems to be more of the guy, the versatile running back that can catch passes out of the backfield, where Torrin Young more of a straight ahead runner. So I think that both of them can get some time. Will they be used? How much will they be used? And how much will Akram Wadley's pitch count be managed the rest of the season? And now the next few weeks with James Butler out. I think those are some things to keep an eye on, and they're going to need every inch that they can get against this Penn State team. I thought it was interesting that Kirk said that they were going to have to play their best game to have a chance, and that's the exact words that he used, and you tend to agree. The way that he presented this press conference today, hit it straight down the fairway, like you said, Todd, that's what this team is going to have to do. They can't make mistakes. They're going to have to come out and make some plays offensively, play, like I said, play mistake-free, and if it's enough, they'll hang in the game. If it's not, Penn State, you chalk it up as Penn State being a better team, even though some people tried to call in and say that they weren't a good team yesterday. Ryan, I still haven't forgotten about that.
Ryan in Walford says, I don't think these guys will need to have any extra motivation for this game. Playing the revenge card is a lot like Nebraska fans saying they're better than Iowa because of the 1990s. Last year's game will have zero relevance to this game. Maybe Barkley's quitting comment will be brought up, but these guys will be ready to punch them in the mouth, and the last thing on their mind will be the 2016 score. I don't know about that. I mean, Parker Hesse was seriously pissed off on Saturday, and that was moments after the North Texas game. You could just see, A, he had the ultimate warrior eye black going, which is a good look, especially on a defensive player. It just, I wouldn't, and he's got sort of the, he's got a little bit of the mullet action going. It's kind of a hybrid mohawk mullet. I don't know how to describe it quite accurately. I would not want to line up across from him in a dark alley. Let's put it that way. He definitely has revenge on his mind. So I think individually it's going to be up to the different players as to how much they're thinking about that, but they want to sort of right the wrong that they view last year, because if you remember, that was the tipping point last season, because after they got their teeth kicked in by Penn State, then they turned on the Jets and they were able to finish strong and they beat Michigan, and the rest is history until the Outback Bowl rolled around.
This team was dominated by Penn State last year, especially the defense. The defense was physically overmatched last year. So to think that this defense, with as many returning players from that roster, especially defensively, as they have, doesn't remember last year, I don't buy that at all. They gave up almost 600 yards of offense. They were dominated like they hadn't been dominated the entire season in that game. And much of Penn State is returning this year. So, I think I'm not necessarily going to say that revenge is the top factor here, but they remember that game. Every Iowa coach and player remembers that game, and they will remember that game heading into Kinnick Stadium on Saturday night.
Kind of an interesting thing here, but you take a look at Penn State's notes for this game. If I asked you off the top of your head who the leading receiver for Penn State is at the moment,
would it be their All-American tight end, Mike Gesicki?
No, they list Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley.
And so there you go, a little bit of a dual threat out of the backfield, along with his ability to be a pass catcher. But Kirk Ferentz talked a lot about Trace McSorley. I think he talked more about Trace McSorley today than he did Saquon Barkley, although it was about 50-50. Down the middle. Penn State averaging 47 points a game against three relative nobodies. Iowa averaging 33 points a game against a schedule that is only slightly tougher. And nobody knows what's going to happen Saturday night. And if somebody tries to convince you of that, don't buy stock in a single word that they're saying. And I say this all the time, and as somebody in this business who is supposed to quote-unquote be an expert, nobody knows. That's why I don't take predictions and all of that stuff all that seriously. It just, they're worth the paper that they're printed on, and in this day and age, most of them aren't even printed on paper anymore. 319-366-1600. We'll have Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago coming up bottom of the hour. Big game for the Twins and the Yankees tonight. Game two of that series on 107.5 FM. You can hear it. We'll join it in progress after the show is over tonight. Also, perhaps the lamest Doug and Daddy check-in we've ever done. No offense, Alex. 424. None back taken. With more of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. The Cubs will soon have right-hander Jake Arrieta back in their starting rotation. Just how soon, though, remains a mystery. Arrieta threw a 42-pitch bullpen session Saturday and told manager Joe Maddon afterwards that he felt good. Arrieta was also scheduled to throw a bullpen session today, and the results from that workout could determine whether he pitches on the team's current road trip that kicks off tonight in Tampa. Chicago enters play this evening with a 3.5-game lead over Milwaukee in the NL Central race. The trip to Tampa marks Maddon's first time back at Tropicana Field as manager of the Cubs since he left the Rays after the 2014 season. Left-hander Mike Montgomery is tonight's scheduled starter for the Cubs. He'll face one-time Chicago pitching prospect and current Rays ace Chris Archer.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hass. Are you wasting time worrying about timekeeping and scheduling instead of calling the plays for your business? The pros at Future Systems can handle all of your scheduling and timekeeping needs. With web-based timekeeping, your team can clock in whether they're at home or away. And when you add integrated scheduling, you can avoid a penalty flag for having too many players on the field. Call the All-Americans at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
We talked a little bit about this on the program last week, but Wisconsin went out to Provo last weekend to take on BYU, and Provo only has two bars. And the reports are in, according to the Salt Lake Tribune, Badger fans didn't necessarily completely drink Provo dry, but one of the two bar owners said it was the single best day that he has ever had in the bar business.
And that doesn't surprise me at all.
Here's all you need to know about the culture out there when it comes to alcohol and football. The bar opened 2 hours early for the game. It opened at 10 o'clock in the morning. The Badger fans were already lined up. Now, as most people I think know, the predominant religion in Utah is Mormonism. And they do not drink alcohol or caffeine or a number of other things. And it's frowned upon. And, well, there you go. Badger fans, on the other hand, not so much. And when these two teams meet again next year in 2018 in Madison, I don't think there's going to be a bar that will be opening its door at 10 a.m. for the first time. But I thought it was a great quote. I wish if I had the story in front of me. Guys, is this the single best day he has ever had owning that bar was when the Badger fans were lined up. Coors Light sounds like it was the most popular beverage, which I thought was interesting with a bunch of Wisconsin fans. I would have thought it would have been Miller Lite, but I guess beggars can't be choosers when you're at one of the two bars in Provo. And they didn't drink the town dry, but they came close. They gave it their best shot. Of course, Wisconsin absolutely rolling BYU over the weekend. Badgers with an easy victory there. Lots of Big Ten action on the slate this week. None for Wisconsin. This is a really down week for the Big Ten West because Illinois, Minnesota, Northwestern, and Wisconsin are all idle. Hawkeyes have the spotlight all to themselves, though. 6:30 on ABC, here to tell us a little bit more about what Kirk Ferentz and the players had to say in Iowa City today with his first of many Midwest One Bank Big Board updates. Kyle Mann, Midwest One Bank, where you're the one.
It's not really a surprise, but Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and did confirm that Akram Wadley is healthy and will be at full go this weekend against Penn State, though he also said that he'll be sure to use Ivory Kelly-Martin and Torin Young to keep Wadley fresh. Iowa safety Armani Hooker is heading into his first game as a starter for the Hawkeyes this weekend, and after a strong performance last weekend, he's been named to Pro Football Focus's Week 3 All-Big Ten offense. Iowa State had a handful of selections to the All-Big 12 teams, including David Montgomery on the offense again. He's been recognized every week this season, and on the defense, it was safety Braxton Lewis as well as former quarterback-turned-linebacker Joel Lanning. Former Cyclone D lineman Justin Thomas will get his chance in the NFL as he reached a deal with the Cleveland Browns today to join their practice squad. Thomas played at Iowa State in 2015 and 2016. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings are out for this week. West Des Moines Dowling sits atop Class 4A, followed by Iowa City West. Cedar Falls is number 8, and Cedar Rapids Prairie number 9. Xavier is the top-ranked team in 3A, Solon number 3, and in Class 2A, Williamsburg is at the top with Mount Vernon 3rd. Iowa City Regina is 3rd in Class 1A. The Twins are in action with the Yankees in New York tonight. They'll start up at 6, and we'll join them in progress after the show on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We need a poll question at KGYMRadio.com today, and I think this is the first time that I have ever done this. I am going to crowdsource this. So somebody listening, give me a good question to make the poll question today. 319-366-1600. If we select your question to use as the poll question, on your deathbed, you shall receive total enlightenment. So you'll have that going for you. Jesse Rogers, ESPN Chicago, joining us in just a couple minutes. We'll talk Cubs and Rays. Natural rivalry, right?
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-342-4000. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-342-4301 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-342-4301 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-342-4301.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. Warrior star Kevin Durant apologizing for going too far and defending himself on Twitter. Speaking at a TechCrunch conference in San Francisco, Durant said he does not regret clapping back at anybody or talking to his fans on Twitter, but does regret using his former Thunder coach Billy Donovan's name when talking about his experience in Oklahoma City. NFL Dolphins suspended linebacker Lawrence Timmons indefinitely. ESPN's Jeff Darlington reports Miami coach Adam Gase still upset with Timmons for going AWOL from the team without notice Saturday night and is not yet satisfied with any of the explanations he's received. Team hasn't made any more firm decisions beyond the suspension in terms of how long it'll last. Panthers tight end Greg Olsen placed on injured reserve one day after having foot surgery. He is eligible to return to the active roster after 8 weeks. Baseball, the wild card race in the American League, in the spotlight in tonight's MLB doubleheader on ESPN. It's the Twins and Yankees at 7 o'clock Eastern. Then the Angels welcome the Indians at 10 Eastern. New York's got a 5-game lead for the first AL wild card. LA trails Minnesota by a game and a half for the second one.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-342-4301. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-342-4301 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-342-4301 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-342-4301.
Stupid rubber duck. Oh, I bet this is Mariota's room. Whoa, I get that he went to Oregon, but a pond-themed room seems a little weird. I was just looking for Mariota.
Hey, what's going on out there?
I told you we should have just gone to HeismanHouse.com, but no, we had to go to the house. We could have voted for this year's Heisman winner from the safety of our computers.
This week, tune in to the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finny. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some at your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave. Available at Walmart.
The text line always comes through. We've got a poll question thanks to 6562 today. Who will have more yards from scrimmage on Saturday? Saquon Barkley, Akram Wadley, or any other player? Mystery player, if you will. KGYM poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway there on 1st Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
I like that one.
Interesting proposition when you take a look at the numbers, because the ground game is going to be a major factor, but this is yards from scrimmage. Iowa comes in averaging 180 yards on the ground, Penn State 187. And the passing game numbers, roughly similar, although the Nittany Lions at 282. Through the air, Iowa at 218. But again, Penn State racked up. And that's what's so difficult about this game and being the first Big Ten game out of the gate is we don't know how good Penn State is against an opponent that has a pulse. They played one in Pitt. And that's a rivalry game. And maybe I'm the only person here, but with rivalry games, I tend to throw out the results as well, because you just have both sides that are amped up to go at each other. And it's even if Pitt isn't that good, and boy, did they get shellacked by Oklahoma State last weekend, they're still getting up for that game. So this is a really difficult game for me, at least, to get a read on, because I think I'm spending too much time going back to last year's game. And Kirk Ferentz said that today. Look, this is a different ball team. This is a different year. Some of Iowa's players, look, they played 6-7 true freshmen more. They're beyond that number right now. Those guys weren't even on campus, let alone making the trip to Happy Valley last year. So they don't care about what happened last year. Maybe at the back of their mind they've got that. But this is a... This is the 2017 Iowa-Penn State game. It has very little to do with what happened last year at Happy Valley, but a big thank you again, 6562, for the poll question. And as I mentioned, on your deathbed, you will receive total enlightenment. We'll be joined shortly by Jesse Rogers, ESPN Chicago. The Cubs kicking off a brief road trip to Tampa, I should say series. The road trip is not brief, but the series against Tampa Bay will be. Mike Montgomery gets the start tonight for the Cubs. He will go up against Chris Archer, the Tampa Bay Rays one-time ace. His numbers this year, though, not necessarily all that fantastic. He's 9-10 with a 4.06 ERA. Montgomery is 6-8 with a 3.57 ERA, shifted back to the bullpen and now making a start again. Don't know when Jake Arrieta will return. And the Cubs with a 3.5 game lead coming into tonight against Milwaukee. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in just a few minutes with Jesse Rogers. Other baseball, as we mentioned, the Twins and the Yankees. That series, the Yankees taking the opener over the Twins last night. We will have game two joined in progress this evening at 7 o'clock. First pitch is a little bit after 6 o'clock at Yankee Stadium. Right now, the Yankees still have the upper hand in the wild card race, and then you've got the Twins holding down the second wild card, and then the Los Angeles Angels, I believe, were a game and a half behind the Twins. So they are watching with great interest what happens between the Twins and the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. But again, we'll join that game in progress. If you caught the Cyclone sideline show last night, it was a real gem. A big thank you to our pal Tommy Birch, who listens and keeps me informed anyway on Twitter when I necessarily can't take in the whole. Not one, but two questions about whether or not Iowa State has a baseball team last night. I don't know how Jamie Pollard and any of the athletic directors or the coaches do some of those call-in shows sometime, but Jamie Pollard had to politely inform not one but two callers last night that it's a club baseball team that the person was referencing. Yeah, you win some, you lose some. Iowa State's the only Big 12 team that doesn't have baseball.
That is true, isn't it?
Yeah. And Wisconsin.
Colorado's not in the league anymore.
Wisconsin, so. The only Big 10 team that doesn't have baseball. I don't know what they were doing today at Duane Banks Field. They had the scoreboard on, and I don't know whether they were. Well, when was that game with the Ontario Blue Jays? Was that that's Saturday right before the Penn State? So I'm sure they're practicing getting ready for that to keep tabs on Rick Heller and the Iowa baseball program. They got a commit today, by the way. I don't know too much about the commitment that they got. And while we're talking about commits, the Iowa State Cyclones got another commitment yesterday while we were on the air. We were talking a lot about the Oklahoma receiver, and they wound up getting another. This stuff always happens while we're on the air. And then you get people on the text line, talk about this. Well, it's going on while we're on the air. It's a little bit difficult to that. But trying to think the player that they reeled in yesterday. Was it Halliburton, I think was his name, right? Let's see if we can dig up the details here as we dig up Jesse Rogers at ESPN. Yesterday it was Andrew Friedman, right? He was waiting.
Yes, on that was correct.
Telephone call from Andrew Friedman, the general manager. No, not he's not the GM, but he's president of baseball operations. It's very difficult.
Are you
nowadays
saying that we're not higher on the totem pole than the general manager, the president of player operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers? Is that what he's telling us?
At this point, no. And I think everybody knows that. I'm not sure that we could. Tyrese Halliburton, says Matt in Cedar Rapids. All right, there you go. Why is it? It's not basketball season. It's football season. This is what happens when you're lazy and you don't have a backup plan for the guy who made you deploy your backup plan yesterday. This is what happens when you're lazy. You just sit here and it's gibberish.
The Nebraska thing yesterday was the backup plan?
Well, the Nebraska.
I thought that was.
No, the Nebraska stuff was going to be the 6 o'clock hour. And then it was break glass in case of emergency. And it kind of threw everything off. And today I thought, well, there's no way we rescheduled him today from yesterday. There's no way this happens again. And this is just, it's pure laziness on my part. But I'm the only guy who's ever going to tell you that. Everybody else, they try to BS their way through it and convince you that they got other things to talk about. Uh-uh. I was fully prepared to talk about one thing and one thing only at 4:35 on today's show, and it was the Cubs with Jesse Rogers. I am sitting here with my you-know-what, woo-hoo, out in the wind right now.
Well, how about this? You teased it yesterday as the most shocking episode of Doug and Daddy yet. And there were a lot of people
checking in with Doug and Daddy.
If
you're
going
to do this, you have to call it what the segment is called.
I misspoke.
It's not even a real. It's not even a real segment, and it's not even really funny.
It's not really funny, but I think a lot of texters yesterday wanted to know, or wanted to hear from Doug when he returned. So, should we do that right now?
Well, the people that don't know what's going on.
So why don't we reset?
Nebraska got embarrassed by Northern Illinois over the weekend, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to check in with Doug and Daddy, and we checked in with them, and then Doug was on vacation.
So here was yesterday's checking in with Doug and Daddy.
Good morning, Monday, September 18th, Doug and Daddy edition without Doug Duda. Damon Day sitting in with Jimmy Langan for Doug, who is taking the day off, having a little struggle from Saturday's game in Lincoln, and just decided to shut it down for today. Jimmy, welcome aboard. How was your weekend?
So that was yesterday.
Jimmy's weekend, by the way, was fine.
Oh, I thought it was great.
So that was yesterday. Yeah. And now today, we find out that, see, yesterday that built up and it took on a life of its own. And then I said, look, when Iowa lost to North Dakota State, I was jumping out of bed on Monday morning. I couldn't wait to get to work. Who the hell would take a day off after something like that when you're in this business? And then this is like finding out something that you believe is real is fake. This is today. And I look, this is so boring. I want people to know I have nothing to do with it. This, what you're about to hear, this is entirely Alex's fault. This is all 110% on the shoulders of Alex Kuhn, what you're about to hear. Yesterday, we built that up. This, I'm tearing it down. This is the absolute worst checking in with Doug and Daddy that we've ever done. This is all on you, Alex. Shame on you.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda back in studio with you today. Yesterday was already a planned day off before Saturday's contest. I just want that to be made known right now.
That sucked.
Why did the host yesterday make it seem as though he was taking the day off because he was distraught over Saturday's results? Do you think that Mr., what was it, Damon Day, will be invited back to host the Doug and Daddy Show anytime
soon? Who, by the way, is not a fan of the Huskers. He also said that yesterday on the program. Kyle, you're the producer. I want... this is now...
Am I going to get reprimanded
this is
for
a
that?
Daily, this is a daily assignment for you. The backup plan, the break glass in case of emergency plan is just to have audio from Doug and Daddy. And then we just... hell, you know what? At this point, there's a one-hour show. We could play their entire podcast and come back and be ready to talk to Lystico. I think that would almost be a good plan at this point. 319-366-1600. Hell, you know what? We don't need Jesse Rogers to talk about the Cubs right now. Let's just talk about the Cubs without Jesse Rogers. They're on the road in Tampa tonight. The Brewers refuse to go away. Mike Montgomery is starting tonight. He's best suited in the bullpen. Jake Arrieta is coming back, but we don't know when.
Should I ask you questions and you can pretend like you're Jesse Rogers?
No, I don't think that would work.
Either. Okay. Okay. That's fair enough. I just injected that follow-up there, and I don't want to add another bad segment to this.
It wasn't a bad segment.
Or excuse me, it was a bad checking in with Doug and Daddy.
Yeah, it was terrible. Shame on you. I see what's coming in. It's not... Look, this is not Jesse Rogers on the telephone line here, but it's Joel and Muscatine. And Joel shared with me something yesterday that just absolutely blew my mind. It is a very small world. I don't know whether this is what Joel's calling about or not, but at this point... let's throw caution to the wind. I am never, ever in my life going to be mistaken for someone who runs a professional radio program. And this is going to be Exhibit A at that trial. Rogers bails 2 days in a row, and I'm just sitting here whizzing into the wind. Joel, what's up?
Hey, yes, I am calling about my colleague at our radio station, who came to us from the station that Doug and Daddy are on in Kearney, Nebraska.
I can't believe that station has employees multiple, but...
Yeah, she was a college student at UNK, and I think it was an internship type situation.
So he was a loper.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're called?
Yeah, the Mighty Lopers. They are a Division II powerhouse, I think, at nothing. But it's neither here nor there. Let's just say she's very happy to be working at the station with us. I think I'll just leave it at that. It was not the greatest internship experience I think that he could have had.
Give me his best story.
Her best story was.
Oh, it's a her.
They didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a female. As she was running the board for them for a show. She was doing some production work, and they basically didn't know they were on the air. They didn't have their headphones on, and she's trying to get them, you know, tuned in, and they were talking about, you know, some NASCAR type thing at the Kansas City Speedway, and they were supposed to be talking about the great Tanner Lee, you know, the second coming of Team Magic, you know, their quarterback situation. So it doesn't sound like they're always the most informed as to what they're supposed to be doing show prep wise. I've never listened to their show except for what I've heard on your show, but I can imagine they're just
You're welcome for that, Joel. I try to enlighten people as much as I can.
Well, and I have my history of being banned from Nebraska Sports Talk Radio.
This is the story. I want to hear this story because, unlike Doug and Daddy, I think this is actually interesting. A radio station in Nebraska banned you from talking about the Huskers or calling in general.
Well, from calling in general, they would screen me pretty hard. So I'd have my drive to Sioux City from Muscatine, and by the time I get west to Des Moines, I'd start to pick up the Omaha sports talk shows and, you know, killing time all by myself as a college student. You have to figure out ways to. Cell phones had just been invented. And so I would call in and we would talk about Nebraska football. And I was referred to as Joel the Hawkeye Homer on this particular radio station in Omaha. And when they fired Frank Solich, I called in and had about a 5-minute, you know, monologue about how you can't recruit option quarterbacks because they're going to the SEC and the Big 12 to play wide receiver because that projects them better to the NFL. And what do I know about football? You know, I'm just this idiot who's a Hawkeye fan who doesn't know championship football if it hit me in the face. And eventually just became this big feud. And when I would call in, I was banned from these folks. I got under their skin so much. And then when Twitter first started, I would tweet at them. You know, this is 15 years later. I'm a total troll of these guys, but it's a blast. And so it turns out I was right. They've never been the same since they fired Frank Solich. And they probably it's a Tom Davis situation, I think. I think there's a lot of parallels between Nebraska football and the Iowa basketball, the period between Tom Davis's departure and Fran McCaffrey coming.
Appreciate the phone call, Joel. We will never ban you from the airwaves. That's my promise to you. How about that? 319-366-1600. This is not my favorite part of the program, and it has nothing to do with mentality and telling you all about them, but it's never easy discussing low testosterone. As a matter of fact, I'm uneasy just even mentioning this right now. The website lowtusa.com. But that's a guy thing. I mean, I'm talking to primarily a male audience here. Raise your hand if you even have a doctor. I don't. I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time that I went to a doctor. Guys do not talk about their health. It's just not something that we're comfortable doing. I think deep down somewhere inside in our DNA, one of those tiny little strands prevents us from having conversations about our health. But mentality makes it very easy to make sure that you are on top of your game as far as men's health go. And I'm not just talking about low testosterone. Check out the website, lowtusa.com, or you can visit their clinic located in North Liberty at 595 Ashley Court. Learn about it before you go, lowtusa.com. Here's the best part about it. It's covered by insurance, and it has a 90% success rate. Safe for guys to use regardless of whether you're in great physical condition like I am or whether you're in less than peak physical condition. Increased energy, increased mental sharpness. It may even help you lose weight. Low testosterone could be an issue for men of any age. Get checked out, lowtusa.com, and maybe you can get your life back on track by talking about the one thing that guys don't like to talk about, and that's your health. lowtusa.com. Back with more of the Todd Brummelkamp Show after this.
Conventional wisdom may tell you that a local community bank doesn't have the resources to keep up with the big banks. That's not true at Midwest One Bank. From mobile banking to text alerts to Pop Money person-to-person payments, Midwest One can meet your needs. Enjoy the convenience of opening your account online at MidwestOne.com and the peace of mind knowing you can speak with a banker at a local Midwest One Bank whenever you need them. It's high tech and high touch at Midwest One, where you're the one. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
4:55, welcome back in. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is in the on-deck circle. He is swinging the sledgehammer a la Dave Parker. He is ready to get his cuts in with us, talking Hawkeyes and Penn State leading off hour number two. Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Set to be with us as well tonight. And if both of them are on the show, that's a .667 batting average for the man you're going to hear next on a Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. .667, by the way, gets you into the Hall of Fame.
Definitely.
Here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board Update.
It's not really a surprise, but Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and did confirm that Akram Wadley is healthy and will be at full go this weekend against Penn State, though he also said that he'll be sure to use Ivory Kelly Martin and Torrin Young to keep Wadley fresh. Iowa safety Armani Hooker is heading into his first game as a starter for the Hawkeyes this weekend, and after a strong performance last weekend, he's been named to Pro Football Focus's Week 3 All-Big Ten offense. Iowa State had a handful of selections to the All-Big 12 teams, including David Montgomery on the offense again. He's been recognized every week this season. And on the defense, it was safety Braxton Lewis, as well as former quarterback-turned-linebacker Joel Lanning. Former Cyclone D lineman Justin Thomas will get his chances in the NFL as he reached a deal with the Cleveland Browns today to join their practice squad. Thomas played at Iowa State in 2015 and 2016. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings are out for this week. West Des Moines Dowling sits atop Class 4A, followed by Iowa City West. Cedar Falls is number 8 and Cedar Rapids Prairie number 9. Xavier is the top-ranked team in 3A, Solon number 3, and in Class 2A, Williamsburg is at the top with Mount Vernon 3rd. Iowa City Regina is 3rd in Class 1A. The Twins are in action with the Yankees in New York tonight. They'll start up at 6, and we'll join that game in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
You left off the single most important thing that you could possibly leave off a Tuesday Big Board update, and that is how our team did in the Imon Communications KGYM Listener League this week. We lost.
Oh.
And I'm bringing this up only because we lost to my favorite team name in the entire league, the Joy of Punting. 132.14 to 129.86. It was a battle that went down to the wire, and it shouldn't have. We should have absolutely kicked CT's rear end, but Jordy Nelson hung the zero on the board because of the quad injury, which sounds like he's 50-50 at this point for Green Bay's game in Week 3. So a tip of the cap to CT. We are now 1-1 in the Listener Fantasy Football League, and I fully understand that you don't care about our fantasy football team, and we don't care about your fantasy football team. But if you want to learn more about setting the optimal lineup for Week 3, good time to remind you Tristan Cockcroft will join us on Wednesday's program. That would be tomorrow, 6:05. Get those questions to us and get them early, 366-1600. Tristan joining us every week, sponsored by Imon Communications. It's the Hawkeyes and the Nittany Lions from Kinnick Stadium Saturday at 6:35. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register breaks it all down for us next.
Hey, it's Larry. Thanks for calling, but I'm buried in books at the library right now trying to figure out what all these hidden fees are on my mobile bill. State fees, federal fees, administrative fees, NTS surcharge? What the heck is an NTS surcharge? If you know, could you please leave a message? Well, do I need a switch?
Getting buried in hidden fees? Switch to Boost Mobile, where your taxes and fees are now included on all plans. Plus, get 2 lines with 3 gigs of 4G LTE per line for just $50, all on the fast and reliable Sprint nationwide network. With Metro PCS, you'll spend $5 more and only get 2 gigs. Sorry, Metro PCS. Switch happens. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 11/2/17. Primary line is $50 with second line $0 per month. The total sales price includes the charge for services, taxes, and fees. Requires 1 line to port in. Lines include unlimited talk, text, and data. Once high-speed data, allotment reached. Speeds reduced to 2G speeds until next line cycle. Comparison based on Metro PCS's 2 lines for $55 per month. 2 gigabyte plan as of 8/21/17. For additional details, visit their website. Covered or not.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM.